ready to go home. I'm tired of this. I'm old, and I don't want to do this no more, and I'm ready to go home and be with the Lord. That was 4 years ago. I imagine that didn't get any better. And Peggy's grandson, he's young. He's 6 years old. He passed some blood in his urine, and they've taken him to doctors, and the doctors can't seem to find anything to cause it. So he's going to go to a specialist. We want to lift this little guy up and all of Peggy's family and Scotty's. And then we want to ask the Lord to be with us here tonight. I'm not as prepared as I'd like to be, and I don't know that the Lord didn't do that on purpose. But anyway, Father, we lift these up to you. And God, we pray for your comfort where it's needed. We pray for your healing where it's needed. We pray for your mercy on Annie, that she was received into your kingdom through the provision of the cross. We pray for comfort for my girls and for their mom and grandma and all the family. Lord, we invite you in here right now. I yield to you, Lord, and I just ask that you would teach us from your word, that we could draw in near to you. And God, we just long to hear from you. We want to hear your truth. We want to be blessed by your presence. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us at this time. And we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's finish up John chapter 14 and we'll get into John chapter 15. I'm going to make a confession. It might be said that I manipulated this service just a little bit. It could be said. I didn't just maliciously manipulate the service. I felt the Lord tugging in my spirit early this week as I was studying. And I wanted us to pull in close to our Father. Lord knows the politics and all the junk that's going on in our nation and in the world today. We need to draw near to the Lord. We need to understand that if we don't serve a God who's angry and who's a judge, but we serve a Father that cares for us and that has left us everything that we need and the promise of his return to come and get us. And I just want us to draw. I'm glad there's not but a few people here tonight. Because close, small attendance family time seems to be more intimate, and that's what I'm hoping that we can draw from this tonight, that we can be together as a family in the presence of the Father. We left off in John 14. We were going to pick up in verse 25, and Jesus has been talking to his disciples. He's comforting them. He's comforting them. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone here. I've provided everything that you need. And you have a Father in heaven, and you have me, and you're cared for, and you don't have to be afraid. They had built a bond with him, and they had put their trust in him, and they had walked with him for 3.5 years now, and he was their hope, and rightly so. But now the news has come that he's about to depart and he's going to be murdered and he's going to do it voluntarily and he's going to be gone from them. And that's a little bit fearful. And he's comforting them. That's what I want you to understand here tonight as we go through this. And we may not get very far, but I want you to understand the comfort and the provision and the care of our Father as we see portrayed here through Jesus, okay? Verse 25. These things, what things? Well, I'm the truth, the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm going to leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come back when I go to the Father. You're not going to be alone, you're going to have a helper, you're going to have a comforter, you're going to have somebody to be with you. Everything, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Those words, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and catch this, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I don't know how many times that I have counseled people or tried to encourage people about reading their Bible. Well, I read it, but then I fall asleep, or I can't remember, or I don't understand it like you do, or I this or that or this or that. I read it anyway. Put the information in the computer, because we are not alone in this world. The Holy Spirit will flip through those files in that computer and pull these things up to your remembrance, but it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's our responsibility to expose our minds to it so that He has something to pull the file from. You with me? We are not alone in this. There is a power greater than ourselves at work within us if we'll just cooperate with the Helper, and He'll bring these things to remembrance. Can I get a witness here? How many times have you been talking to somebody, or some situations come up, and you... And all of a sudden, bang, something comes to your mind that you read in the Bible. You're like, well, this fits here. Well, that's not Dick Williams' magic land. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is at work in us, within us, bringing to remembrance the things that we've exposed our minds to. It's important. Okay. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, agitated, neither let it be afraid. You've heard me say, I'm going away and coming back to you. That's our hope. He's coming back for us. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than me. Okay, I got some things here that I want to pull out. Number one, peace. He said, peace I leave with you. Peace, the Greek word is what? His peace. Okay, we're going to get into that. The Greek word is Irene, and it is a calmness in our animation, in our minds, in our soul, in our spirit. It's the lack of conflict, okay? But there's more. The definition in the Greek dictionary says that this is a product of salvation. So what I want you to do is read that again with me, but we're going to replace the word peace with salvation. Now, he's told them, don't let your heart be agitated. Don't be afraid. You don't have to worry about what's coming. You're not going to be alone. Salvation, verse 27, salvation I leave with you, and what it produces, which is peace and joy and love. You following me? Salvation I leave with you. My salvation I give to you. Give, the word is didyme. We've seen it before. It's a gift with no strings attached. It's just something that is given to you out of love. It's the gift that Judas Iscariot gave to the Romans. It's the same gift. It's the same gift. Do you understand where I'm coming from? He handed him over. The word is didyme. It's the same word. It's didyme or didyme or however you say it. It was all part of a bigger plan that God had, and he had to be handed over in order to go to the cross so that the debt could be paid and the transaction could be made, and salvation would be made available, and then Jesus would be resurrected for our justification, and then he would go to the Father send the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that at that time that the Holy Spirit occupied one human body? You understand that? He describes his death as sowing a grain of wheat. If you sow it and it dies, it'll produce a harvest. That's what happened. Because there is, what is the word? Deification. Deification has happened. Now, are we God in the flesh? No. But God, the Spirit, occupies the believer's flesh. There has the Holy Spirit of God is motivating and empowering and enabling us to believe, to have wisdom, to see the truth in the midst of all this world of deception out here. Are you following me? If he hadn't died, that wouldn't have happened. You understand what I'm saying to you? There was a harvest that came. And the Holy Spirit occupies the souls of believers all over the world now. We are the light of the world, like Brian was talking about this morning. We are the salt of the earth. We are the thing that's preventing, that's restraining this corruption that we see, that if you watch the mainstream media, it seems like it's prevailing. Like the darkness, the ignorance, the scotia is prevailing. What do you think it's going to be when we're out of here? Peace. I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It's a gift. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. What's that mean? What's the difference in the way that the world gives peace to us, or the way that we are provided peace, or that we actually more appropriately take or make peace the way the world does? What's that look like? Is your brain spinning? All I can say is I'm going to give you my illustration. I'm going to give you a segment. This is where I landed on this, and you can make the application with your own life, because I know your lives are different than mine for the most part. I was a drug addict and an alcoholic for the most of my life. Now, I made peace with that, okay? I accepted that as the way it was, and justified and rationalized that as being the way that it was supposed to be. I made peace with that within myself, although when I laid down at night, I never was really quite at peace. There was something still gnawing and nagging at me because I knew this wasn't right. That's the way the world gives peace. Okay, I needed outer peace. In other words, I needed peace. I needed acceptance from the people that were around me, but some people weren't willing to accept me like that, so I surrounded myself with people who were like me that would. Now, I know that none of y'all have ever done anything like that, but try to stretch and see if you can get on the page with me and see what you were doing. You see, if I wanted to be a drunk and a dope head, then I needed to surround myself by people who were drunks and dope heads, because if there's one thing that a drunk can't stand, it's somebody sober. And if there's one thing that somebody sober can't stand, it's a drunk. And so if I wanted peace, if I wanted the lack of conflict from the people that was surrounding me, then I had to surround myself with people who were like me. You understand that? That's peace like the world gives. The peace, the salvation that Jesus gave to them, to you, to me, I don't have that nagging. This ain't right. Oh, I've accepted it. I've surrounded myself with people who will accept it, but this ain't right. This just ain't right. This isn't truth. I told myself, it's okay. It's okay. You can't help it. God gave you a bad deal. He gave you a bad hand when he dealt the cards, you know, and this is just who you are. Well, hogwash. That's not who he created me to be. He created me to walk in light. He created me to walk in truth. He created me to have love and a sound mind. The peace that the world gave me accepted me as I was, God said. No, you're better than this. You're better than this. You don't even know what you're capable of. But I do. I remember walking circles around this church building, bawling streams of tears all through the night. I don't have anything. I don't have anything to offer. I'm no good for nothing. You stick with me, and I'll give you good things to offer. I'll put fruit on you. I'll do good works through you. You stick with me, and this is going to get tremendously better. Now, I didn't really believe that, but what did I have to lose? What I could yield out of that garbage can in Hornersville? Or my spot on the sidewalk? I had nothing to lose. And so I stayed. And apparently so have you. But the peace that he gives is that when I see these politicians telling their ridiculous lies, and when I see these vaccination mandates and this forceful government overreach, and I hear wars and rumors of wars, and I see the things that was prophesied in here that was going to happen in the last days. There's earthquakes, there's famine, there's pestilence. Our ships are corrupted, the ocean out there off the Bay of Los Angeles, because and we can't get supplies in here. And they're telling us this is just the beginning. The economy is crashing. There is a one world religion being constructed as we speak. That's scary. You're going to lose your job if you don't take this vaccination. Okay. The peace that the Lord gives is, I don't know what this is going to look like. And I'm sure it will be hard. But just like he told them, you're not going to have to go through this alone. You're going to have a helper. You're going to have a comforter. And your Father, we're going to see in a little bit, just a little snapshot of how much he cares for us, okay? Now, I'm going to quit ranting and raving and get back in the Word here. That's the peace that the Lord gives, contrasted with the peace that the world gives. You make that application in your own life, where get in where you fit in, is what I'm saying. There's a big difference. Greater. My Father is greater than I. There is a word. It's miadzon or miadzon. It's a comparative tense word. It's a shoot-off of the word megas. If he used megas, he would have said, my Father is the greatest. I exalt thee, the song. You know, he's the greatest, the most powerful, the most wise, the oldest, the one that's been around the longest, the one in whom life all originates from, the greatest. But that's not what he did. He used this word. He said, oh, you've put your trust in me. You've put your faith in me. You've walked with me. You've believed me. You've trusted in me. You've believed that I'm from the Father and that the Father's in me and that I'm in the Father and that we're going to be in you and all this wonderful stuff. I'm going to use the comparative term. You've accepted that I'm God walking in an earth suit in the flesh on this earth with you. You've accepted that, and I'm telling you that what you should do is rejoice when this plan unfolds. I'm telling you that I'm leaving. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be agitated, and don't let it be afraid either, because you should be rejoicing, because this has been the plan since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This is the proto-evangelion right here. It's unfolding right here. Rejoice because I'm going back to the Father, because the works that you're going to do in the power of the Holy Spirit and in my name are going to blow your minds. He never turned loose of the idea that he's God. He just used the comparative term that said, the Father is greater. He's older. He's wiser. He's more powerful. He's in charge. He's the one I submit to. Chain of command. He's greater than me, than you. You understand the way this is going? So he used a comparative term instead of just turning loose of the idea that he was also God in the flesh. Now, verse 29, and now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so do I. Arise, let us go from here. Now, let me just hold on a second. I want to turn back to that paragraph and read it in the NLT, okay? Because so just bear with me for a minute. I should have been prepared for this, but I wasn't. Okay, let's start in verse 29. I've told you these things before they happen so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me. But I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Now, he has told them in the chapter prior. Let's move on. Let's go into chapter 15. Let's get this. There's a picture being painted here, and it's a lot different. Now, I don't want to give the idea that I think I'm smarter than these translators. Not at all. But they have a broad audience that they're trying to translate from Greek into English, and that's a very difficult task to begin with. But they're trying to reach people that are reading their Bible for the very first time. They're also trying to reach people who've been reading it for years and everything in between. I would not want their jobs. So please don't ever think that when I'm standing up here that I feel so lofty and arrogant that I think I'm smarter than they are, because I'm not. But I'm trying to relate this to my audience so that you understand what's being said, okay? 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. The word is alethinos, and it's that which has not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name. It's the genuine article. I'm the true vine. What does a vine do? A grapevine. What does a vine do? It's the source of nutrients. The root comes up through the vine. The vine provides the branches, right? You disconnect the branch from the branch dies, right? Okay, so I'm the source, not just in name only, but I'm the real source. I'm the genuine source. I'm the true source. And my Father is the vine dresser or the gardener or the husbandman in yours, Ron. It's the guy that's taking care of the garden. Every branch in me, circle in me, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, I don't know why they translated this, takes away. I don't understand why they did that, and I'm not going to try to criticize it or scorn it or mock it or anything. But what that means, and you've got to picture a vineyard, a grapevines. There's some out here at the back. If you want to step out back and take a look at Brian's grapevines sometimes, he's got them sitting up on lattice. The picture that I get from this is my grandpa's garden. We had a garden every year. He loved to raise tomatoes. If you want to raise tomatoes, you've got to keep the vines lifted up off of the ground, because if they do make any tomatoes on the ground, the tomatoes are going to rot sitting there on the ground. So you got to care for it. And my grandpa loved his garden, and he loved his tomatoes, and he would go out there. I can remember him washing the dirt with a water hose off the cabbage leaves. That's the picture that's being painted here. We're in the garden here. I'm the vine, you're the branches, we're producing fruit. The Father is the gardener. He's the one who's caring for this. These vines, the ones in me. We're not talking about the world here. We're talking about the ones in Christ. We're talking about the church here. Every branch in me that doesn't produce fruit, my Father will, it says, takes away. That means he lifts them up. He gets my grandpa got his tomato cages made out of cattle fence panels or whatever, and he surrounded them, and he would take these. Sometimes he would take strings and tie on the vines and tie them up to the wire cages or whatever to keep you safe. And he made some tomatoes. Boy, that man knew how to do it. Them things that make some big old tomatoes. Not that big. Tomatoes, big tomatoes. I don't like tomatoes, but they were pretty to look at. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He lifts it up. He cares for it. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Now, you've heard it taught by... Careful. Let's don't get condemning. You've heard it taught by people that are saying that if you don't produce fruit, you're going to get lopped off and thrown in the fire. That's not what is being said here. You'll get cut off if you don't. You get out here, Judy, you get out here and you make fruit. Well, I can't do it. Can you? Can you produce fruit? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Are you capable of that without Jesus? I know I wasn't. What I was capable of was draining a bottle, emptying a bag, burning a joint. I was capable of this kind of stuff. I was capable of taking advantage of people. I was capable of being a self-centered, self-will-run, ignorant riot. But I wasn't capable of care and goodwill and thinking about anybody but myself until I connected to the vine. Until I connected to the vine and his Spirit started producing. Man, he's a good, good Father. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, verse 3, you are already clean. I thought they got lopped off. I thought the branches in him that didn't produce fruit got cut off and left laying and thrown in the fire. But you're clean. Do you know that word clean, the Greek word there, the word prunes is the verb form. Clean is the adjective of the same word. It means to cleanse, like Patty cleans my house, makes it presentable. He cares for that. I see Tammy always cleaning something. Joyce always cleaning, taking care of stuff. You see what the picture is here? Now, you've already been lopped off and thrown in the fire because of the word that I spoke to you. No, you're clean. You've been cared for. You've been loved. You've been blessed. You've been trimmed and cared for. It's like cutting your fingernails and your toenails and getting your hair cut and trimming your mustache and your beard. You know, you just look a lot more presentable. That's what he's doing here. This is his garden. This is his blessed garden. This is his family. We are his garden. We are his family. Ephesians says that we are his workmanship. The word is poema. It's a love song. It's a beautiful thing that he's creating and caring for here. He goes out into the garden And the branches that aren't, the branches that aren't producing fruit, he's picking them up and tying them off and taking care of them. This one's got this old dead branch on it. So he clips it and cleans it. And are you following me? You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now abide in me. Dwell, remain, stay. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, amen, hallelujah. Can I get an amen that the branch can't bear fruit by itself? Unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me, unless you're one with me. He said, I, Father's in me, I'm in the Father, I'm in you, he's in you, you're in me, we're in him. Remember? We're abiding in him. Now, Patty, you better get a little more religious, girl. Get your act together, and I want to see some fruit on you. Get out here and do some good works. That's not even realistic, is it? But I can abide in his love, man. I can just be. How many of you know that we're not human doings? We're not human doings. We're human beings. He cleaned me up. He took away the things that were interfering with my growth and with my maturity and with me being able to be a positive addition to society. He took away the things that prevented me from being a dad. He took away the things that prevented me from being a friend. He took away the things that prevented me from being any kind of a contribution whatsoever to his church. He took those things away. He clipped, he cleaned, he cleansed, he made me produce. He put me up here. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that he put me up here. I'm actually not. It's my greatest joy. I'm the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. The word is carpos. I had it up. Should have left it up. It could be the fruit of one's loins. It could be children. It could be grandchildren. James said, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. It could be your children, your grandchildren. These are good works. This is fruit that you've produced. It could be it's that which originates or comes from something else, an effect, a result, a positive consequence. Like Randy, like our recovery. It was a gift. It was something that he produced in us after he cleaned and clipped and prayed. It could be a work. It could be an act. It could be a service provided. It could be the use of a gift. It could be praises which are offered and presented to God as a thank offering. It could be the offering that you say, well, you know what? I got a few extra bucks. I'm going to contribute to the church, or I'm going to contribute to the meeting. I'm getting some good out of it. I want to be a part of it. It could be that. Fruit. It's produce. It's not fruit. It's actually produce. He will make you produce. He will produce through you. If you're the branch, if you stay connected to the vine, God will make produce come from you. It'll be good works. Maybe it's a work ethic. Maybe you've never been a good employee in your life before you met Jesus. That's the case it was with me. I had 94,782 jobs in my life. That's an exaggeration. Nobody wanted me to work. I was not faithful. Faithfulness is a fruit. It's produce of the Spirit. Faithfulness to the church. Faithfulness to the kids. Faithfulness to the family. Faithfulness to the employer. Faithfulness to the friend. To be a trustworthy friend. Fruit. Produce. It's something that's produced. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides, dwells, remains, stays in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. He produces. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out. Get out. Does that make any sense? The word is ballo. It means, and Paul talked about it over in Romans, that God gave them over to their depraved minds in hopes that they would repent. Paul said, put the guy out in hopes that he'll repent so God can save his soul. It also means that you're walking along here, okay, so you picture Jesus knocking on the door and he rejects him. He rejects him and the invitation is there, but if he rejects it, then you drop it and leave it laying right there where it's at. It means that you hand him over to the care of another, not being sure what the result is going to be. If you reject him, what choice does he have but to leave you laying? And if you lay there long enough, they're going to come along and pick up the trash. It's going to die. The branches are going to die. And they're going to throw them in the fire. But God's not casting us out. He's not kicking us out. He may drop you where you're laying if you refuse to go with him. As a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them. They gather them. Not he, they. The people of the world gather them, throw them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words, my logos, the gospel, the proclamation that came from God's mouth in the beginning that became flesh, if that abides in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it'll be done for you. But by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, that you are abundant in good works and praise, and that you're the friend that you always wanted to be but couldn't pull it off, that you're the dad that you always wanted to be but couldn't pull it off, that you're the mom that you always wanted to be but couldn't pull it off, that you've got a clear conscience with peace and with joy and with satisfaction and fulfillment, that when you laid your head down at night, you know that, God, I didn't do it all right today, but you know what? Because of what you've done, and because of the peace that you've put in me, and because of the joy that I have through the provision of the cross, I'm at peace. And it's his peace that he gave to me, not like the world gave to me, but it satisfies me. It's inner peace that keeps me tranquil when the world is going to hell in a handbasket all around me. You understand the difference? By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We're almost done. Verse 9, as, the word is kathos, it means in the same degree, in proportion to, as the same much, same amount, the Father loved me, his only begotten Son, his precious child, there's no other like him. Just like he loved me, I also have loved you. Abide, remain, continue, just stay. In my love. If you keep my commandments, if you give value and attend to carefully the words that I've spoken to you, the encouraging, life-giving words that I've spoken to you, then you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What was it over in John chapter 12, verse 50, and we'll quit after this. What was the Father's commandment? He said, I am not speaking on my own authority, but I'm saying what the Father commanded me, and I know his commandment. Who can shout out what it was? What was the Father's commandment to him? This is what I want you to accomplish. Eternal life. That's the mission. But he didn't get us out here and put us on the street like orphans and say, Do your best. Give it your best shot. No, I'm going to dwell in you. You're going to dwell in me. We are going to dwell in the Father. The Holy Spirit is going to comfort and help and bless and walk with you. You're not going to be orphans. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to fulfill you. I'm going to satisfy you. I'm going to give you my divine power. Will give you everything you need for life and godliness. You don't have to be afraid. When the Democrats are being stupid, you don't have to be afraid, because your Father is like a gardener, and He loves His garden, and He's going to care for you, cleanse you, lift you up, make you produce. That's what I wanted to get across tonight, is the care of the Father. How many people have experienced His care? Every day. Randy, He sobered us up. He made us be a contributing factor and made us able to help other people. Joyce, He made you to survive cancer. Ron's a work in progress. No. Ron has been a faithful worship leader in this church for a long, long time. The other ones have come and gone, come and gone. Ron always comes and he's always there. Patty? Let's skip over Patty. I don't know what my life would be without a friend like you. I just don't. I don't even want to think about it. God made you that. Same thing with you, Randy. I know you tried. You thought you got rid of me, but we keep bumping into each other in other places. We're in each other's lives, brother. God gave us that. Barney, Christy, man, we've been bumping elbows for years now. God gave us that gift. Friends, family, love, precious friends. Scotty, the Lord brought you back into here. Peggy, praise God. You guys, man, we love you here. You're so much a part of who we are. Tammy, Brian took me in off the street, a strung out mess, sick to death, in despair, completely defeated, scared to death, didn't know how I was going to live another day. Didn't have no idea what direction we were gonna go. The Holy Spirit working in them guided us right along. They've been cared for. Judy, you and John showed up. You know, we needed you guys. We needed you in that media booth. We need John to come through here when he comes through. I needed a friend like John, a fellow truck driver that can relate. We can talk the talk. We can talk the lingo. We know we're family. God did that. We didn't have any idea we were going to be together. This group was going to be here tonight. Did you have any idea? I didn't have any idea what it's going to look like. All I did was report for duty. This worship team that we have up here, we're family. We grumble and groan and fuss and holler at each other, but I don't know. Every Saturday night, it's like torture. It's like pulling teeth to get six songs put out through this thing, and it sounds terrible, and I know we all go home and pray, now, Lord, you're going to have to do something here. And He always does. He always does. Every Sunday morning, He hasn't failed us yet. Do you see the care of our Father? He's not mad at us. You know, I spent 52 years of my life, every time the thought of God would cross my mind, I thought, you know, because I thought He was mad at me. I deserve for Him to be mad at me. No. He was chasing me going, come on, man, you got a couple of things there I need to clip off of you. This stuff's killing you. I got a better way. Just trust me. I'll show you the way. Do you understand the wealth that we have in this little family. How precious it is. Appreciate it. Oh, appreciation. That's another gift. I didn't have that before. We appreciate life. We appreciate peace. We appreciate confidence. We appreciate not having to be afraid anymore. I know I appreciate not having to be afraid anymore. Except snakes. I'm still kind of afraid of snakes. You know, that whole garden thing freaked me out. I'm like Garden of Eden, I mean. I want you to go home tonight, and I want you to thank God for the wonderful gifts that He's given us, the ones that you're aware of, and the ones that you overlook, and the ones that you take for granted, because every breath that we breathe, every blessed feeling that we have, everything that provides our next meal, every clothes that we put on our back, the job that we have, the vehicle that we drive, it's a gift from God. I want us to pull in tight to our Father in these last days and recognize how very much we're loved and cared for. Can we do that? I want a commitment from you. Will you just try to exercise that gift of appreciation? Because our God loves us, man, and He cares for us. Father, we thank You, Lord. The words just aren't adequate, Lord, to describe Your love for us. The way we've been vines that were dragging in the mud and the fruit was rotting on them. We wasn't producing anything. And You raised us up and lifted us up and You cleansed us and You clipped the stuff that was hindering us. And God, You have blessed us so abundantly, Lord. And we're so thankful tonight. God, I just hope that as we've pulled in close to You tonight and as we've exercised that gift of appreciation, as we've acknowledged Your love and Your care for us, I just pray that it blesses You. I know I sure am blessed when my kids pull in close to me. Father, we want to be a blessing to You. We love You. We thank You for this church. We thank You for this family. We thank You for making us Your own. Be blessed, and Lord, go with us this week and help us to be about Your business. In Jesus' name, amen.